and every one of you here. If you are a guest with us, we would like to especially welcome you. Thank you for being here this morning. Our presence is richer. We are richer by your presence. There is a blue friendship pad located in your pew. We would love for everyone to take that and pass it down and sign it as it comes along. This is a great way to know who you are worshiping with this morning. In that corner, you will also find a connect card. If you're a guest, we'd love for you to take that and fill that out and place it in our offering plate when it is passed later. This helps us connect with you and you connect with us. And again, thank you. We welcome this morning to our pulpit Dr. Neil Westbrook. Dr. Westbrook has served at churches all over the area, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, and comes with degrees from NC State and from Duke and from Mercer. Welcome, Dr. Westbrook. We are glad that you are here. Let us enter into worship this morning with these words from our psalmist. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord. For to you I do cry all day long. Gladden my soul, the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Let us worship.
Good morning. It's so good to see you all. If there is anybody else out there who would like to come down, please come join us. I want to start by sharing a story with you all. This is a story that happened to me many years ago. But one day I was driving between appointments for work, and I was in a hurry, and I was going a little too fast, and I looked back in my rearview mirror and saw a police officer with his lights on. So I had to pull over, and I was really scared, and my heart was pounding, and I realized, oh, now I'm going to be even more late. So the officer walked up to my window, and he asked for my driver's license, and I gave it to him, and he went back to his car, and I sat there, and I was really upset with myself and just frustrated. But he came back a few minutes later, and he handed me my license, and he said, "Here you go. I'm giving you a warning. Be careful. Don't drive so fast." And I was so grateful and thankful and relieved. That day, the officer chose to show me mercy. Do any of you all know what mercy is? Yeah? Mercy is when you get another chance, when you really deserve a punishment or a consequence for something that you've done. And God calls all of us to show mercy to others because God is so merciful to us. God delights in giving us mercy and giving us extra chances. So what are some ways that you can show mercy to other people? Any ideas? Well, I did some thinking, and I thought one way may be to forgive someone instead of staying mad at them, or showing love to someone instead of getting even with them if they did something to hurt you. An example I thought of is if you're on a sports team, or if you're not but you're at recess, maybe there's someone on the other team or in another class who maybe isn't playing very fair and isn't being very kind, and that person falls down. You have a choice, right? You could just ignore that person, or you could choose to show them mercy and walk over and extend your hand and ask them if they need help up, or you could stoop down and ask that person if they're okay, if they need some help. That's one example. I thought of a way that teachers could show mercy in school is, what if your homework is due and you realize when it's time to turn in your homework that it's sitting at home on your kitchen table, and you tell your teacher, "I'm so sorry, I don't have it." She could choose to show you mercy and say, "It's okay, just bring it tomorrow." So there's lots of different ways that we can show mercy and others can show mercy to us. And the way we can learn to show mercy is by praying, reading the Bible, coming to church and learning about God, learning about how Jesus lived his life here on earth. Because it's not always easy to choose mercy, but it is something that God calls us to do. So let's have a little prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity to come to church, to learn more about you, to worship you. Please give us open hearts and minds to see how you would have us show mercy to others this week. In your name, amen.
Maybe that's you. And this morning we're going to spend time in prayer. And it's kind of like Isaiah, who saw the Lord high and lifted up and was led to repentance, saw the holiness of God, said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." We want to confess those things before the Lord. We're going to do that by singing the song here printed in your guide, "Lord Have Mercy," a very simple song. And we're going to sing this a few times as a way to pray through our singing this morning.
God of the ages and of this present hour, hear the prayers of your people. Your gracious word tells us that everyone will recognize us as disciples in one way: love. Love is our mark, our identifier, our obedience. We are called by love, embraced by love, forgiven in love, emboldened in love. Love found in and received from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Forgive us, Lord. We are very good at hoarding the love that you have so freely shared with us, giving the smallest portion, missing the point entirely. We know that most days we really are not that good at loving our neighbors. We grow impatient far too easily. We dismiss them far too easily. And too easily we turn a deaf ear. Forgive us. If we are truly honest, we realize that we're not even really that good at loving ourselves as we should. Too quickly we give up on ourselves. We remember our failures for far too long. We try to be more and less than you created us to be. Forgive us. And in the midst of all of this, we come to the stunning clarity that we have not always loved you as we ought. We have hid from you in shame, and we have ignored you in our indifference. Too often we run here and there trying to give you everything except that which you most desire, our love. Forgive us. And in forgiving us, free us. Free us to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In this time of worship, sharpen our senses. Help us to be painfully, if it must be, aware. For truly, there is a world beyond these walls hungry for this kind of love. Those who struggle for bread, those who struggle for a place to be, a place of shelter, a place of acknowledgement, those who are struggling for hope. There are children who are wounded by those whom they trust and adults who are abandoned by those whom they love. And so we pray for courage, for vision, so that the love we receive from you may be the love that we embody in this world and the love that we bear for the sake of our Lord and Savior, the Christ.
Oh, great mercy you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence. We pray that it may be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.
Good morning. It is great to be with you in worship this morning, and it is great to see a few familiar faces. I invite you to join me as we read and listen together to the Word of God as it is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter, who always had something to say, said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As I said before, it is great to be with you in this sacred space to worship together this morning. And to break the ice just a little, I would like to begin the message by asking you some questions and asking you to raise your hand in response to those questions. Now, we did this in the earlier service, and it went okay. So hopefully it's not too much out of your comfort zones. Not asking too much here. I really did want to ask you to stand, but I thought that might be pushing it a little bit. Just as you hear these questions, just raise your hand however you would like to respond. So how many of us who are here today would say that just in general we need more sleep? Anybody? Anybody? Maybe last night, maybe like, yeah, just in general. Okay, very good. How many of us who are here today need more movement or more exercise in our lives? Maybe because we're in the office all day, maybe because, I don't know, for whatever reasons, right? All right. I'm going to look over this way a little bit now. How many of us who are here this morning know that we spend way too much time using technology? Whether it's watching the news, staring at a device. I feel so great standing up here, I have to tell you. I always leave my phone somewhere else when I'm like in worship, and so I don't even have it on me. So it's like the best feeling ever. I don't know why I don't do it more often. So now I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask some more questions, but this time I don't want us to raise our hands. But instead, let's just answer these questions quietly to ourselves. So everyone's eyes are closed. How many of us who are here today have been hurt or upset by something in the news this past week? How many of us who are here today completely blew it with someone in our family? Maybe even this morning before church, or maybe yesterday, or sometime last week. How many of us here today wish that we could be more loving or more forgiving or more gracious towards people than we sometimes are? All right, you can open your eyes now if you'd like. And if you want to keep them closed, I'll just assume you're meditating through the rest of the message. That's great. So what is the purpose of that, you may be wondering? I mean, I would be wondering if I were you. The reason why I wanted to ask us to consider these questions and answer some of them with our eyes open and some of them with our eyes closed is to hopefully help us to see the real reasons why we are not the people we want to be and not yet the people we know we could be. The scripture passage that we read earlier from the Gospel of Matthew begins with Jesus juxtaposing two very different ideas of the spiritual life. On the one hand, there is the religion of rules to keep and rituals to follow, all of which are external and belong to the Pharisees. While on the other hand, there is the true spiritual life, which, according to Jesus, begins inside of each one of us, and then hopefully begins to work its way out through our lives in the way that we live. And I'll just tell you, I know that I need more sleep each week, but it's not because the door's locked to my bedroom and I can't get, to the bed before 11 o'clock at night. That's not the reason why. I know I need more exercise than I do, but the reason is not because the gym's closed in the morning when it's actually most convenient for me to go. I know that sometimes I blow it with my wife or my children, and that it's really not their fault, even though I say that it is at the time. It's usually just because I'm tired or I'm stressed out and it's at the end of the day. What Jesus is explaining to the disciples in the first part of today's passage is that the spiritual life begins in here, not out here. And yet, how much of our time and our energy do we spend watching the news, following people on Facebook, focusing on everything that's going on out here, rather than paying attention to what's going on and what's happening inside of us? In a book entitled Aging as a Spiritual Practice, Lewis Richmond writes about the ups and the downs and the trials and the opportunities that growing older has on our spiritual life. He says that one of the advantages of aging or getting older, and I'll let you decide where you are in that, is this. He says, aging is a time to get to know yourself in new ways, to open yourself to gifts unavailable to us in our youth, by forging a deeper connection to your inner life. Like many of today's spiritual writers, I think he understands that the heart of any real religious life and authentic spirituality doesn't begin with what's happening outside of us, but rather with what's going on inside of us. What is called the heart in the Old Testament and what is called the soul in the New Testament is at the same time our greatest attribute and also our greatest obstacle. Not what's out here, what's in here. Which is probably why a long, long time ago, Plato said, the first and best victory is to conquer our self. And why Elie Wiesel wrote, the only power to which man should aspire is to that which he exercises over himself. Richmond goes on in his little book to write that the first half of life, the uphill slope, and we all know about this uphill slope because we're either climbing it today or we've been climbing it for some time or we've already climbed it and we've reached the top and said, well, this isn't what I expected it to be, is a time when we forge a lifetime of external connections with our jobs, with our careers, with a partner or a spouse, or with our children, with friends, with professional relationships, and yes, even in church. The point that he goes home to make is that most of us spend most of our lives focused on things out here, only to realize later in life that our greatest opportunity for growth and for change, and even for change in the world, is right here. It's inside of each one of us. And this is what Jesus is trying to help the disciples and trying to help us to see that in the first part of today's gospel. To paraphrase, he says this, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. For out of the heart comes murder. For out of the heart comes adultery. For out of the heart comes everything that we do. And that's what really hurts us, what's in here. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't hurt anyone. It's what's inside of us that counts. Now, all of this sets up this really strange story that we read about between Jesus and a Canaanite woman. And if I had to guess, I would guess that many of us have heard this story before. We've studied this story in Sunday school, or maybe we've read about this story in a devotional at some point in time. But there are simply three observations that I would like to share with you this morning that I noticed between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. The first thing that strikes me in this story about Jesus and the Canaanite woman is her anonymity. Her anonymity. We don't even know her name. And this is on purpose, of course. This is a literary tool that's been used to reduce someone's importance or diminish their identity. She's simply referred to as the Canaanite woman, which today would be about the same as you and I calling someone a foreigner. And as I think about this, I ask myself, do we sometimes, maybe unintentionally, treat people this way? People who don't fit into our circle. People who don't add value to our network. How many people in our neighborhood, where we work, in our family, in our church, at our school, feel anonymous? Or unheard, or left out, or overlooked. The second thing I notice about this passage is that Jesus absolutely blew it. Okay? Let's be clear. He blew it. He blew it. For whatever reason, everything that we just heard him say a few verses up about the spiritual life and what it means to be a spiritual person just goes out the window when he encounters this woman. And Jesus falls back into this same kind of mindset that is really just like the Pharisees. And at first, he really acts just like a Pharisee. Now, I wanted to go in and read what some of the commentators and scholars and this and that would have to say, you know, about this passage. And I got to tell you, the majority of the commentaries that I read, they just kind of gloss over this passage. And they kind of say things like, well, Jesus just really wanted to test her faith. I mean, think about what this woman is going through. We don't know all the details, but we know she's going through something. And they say things like, well, you know, the Greek word for dog that's used in the passage, it really means something like a cute little puppy. I still don't suggest you go with that when you're having a conversation with anybody, for that matter. I don't buy it. I think he blew it. I think she caught Jesus with his compassion down. And it's only after she persists, it's only after she continues and stays after Jesus and stays engaged in this conversation with Jesus, that Jesus eventually gets it right. I think for us, for me at least, there's some good news and there's some bad news in this. The good news is that I don't feel so bad about all the times in my life when I blow it, right? And I blow it a lot. But the bad news is I wonder how many times we blow it every day as a husband or a wife, as a dad or a mom, as a granddaughter or grandmother or grandfather, as a believer. But we miss the opportunity to make it right. And then the third thing that strikes me about this story is how the Canaanite woman, whose name we don't know, comes to Jesus seeking mercy. She's seeking mercy for herself, and she's seeking mercy for her daughter. But Jesus, I think, is the one who ends up finding it. Let's be honest, I don't think we can put ourselves in her shoes. But for at least I can't. But for a moment, let's imagine how she must have felt. Stepping out of her comfort zone, crossing over cultural boundaries, making herself vulnerable and throwing herself at Jesus' feet and pleading for mercy on behalf of her daughter. And like I said, you know, even in most cases today, we don't always know the whole story in situations like this. We just know enough to know that something's wrong. And I'm not sure that I can articulate this last point as clearly as I would like to. But it seems to me that it took this woman's act of desperation for Jesus to discover for himself, for the first time, a fuller and deeper meaning of God's mercy. And just as Jesus' eyes were open to the fullness of God's kingdom through his encounter with this woman whose name we don't even know, may our eyes be opened to see the vastness of God's kingdom, and may our hearts find the fullness of God's mercy through those unexpected and sometimes unwanted encounters with those people in our lives whose names we sometimes know and sometimes we don't know, that we experience almost every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There are several things going on in the life of our church that I would like for you to be aware of. First, there is a church-wide pool party this afternoon that is at Lake Park Swim Club. We would love to see you there from 4 to 7. We'll eat around 5. That is a potluck, so bring something if you can to share. But we would love to see you there. Next week, there are lots of things going on. During both worship services, it is Promotion Sunday, so our kindergartners and our sixth graders will receive their Bibles as gifts from the church. We will also be doing a blessing for our students and our educators that day. So for our students and our educators, we would love for you to bring your backpack or school bag, whatever you take with you, and bring it with you to church on Sunday for a special blessing. That afternoon at 4 o'clock is our all teams and all committees meeting. So if you are on a team or a committee, there is a meeting for you at 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon in our fellowship hall. And if you need childcare for that, just let me know. Let's sing together.